In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So both of today's readings talk about the transience of the world. They speak of the qualified nature of our place within the world as disciples of Jesus Christ, in other words, as Christians. And they speak of our primary home being the kingdom of God. We are citizens of God's kingdom, first and foremost. I think that this is a very important word, by the way, for would-be disciples of Jesus today, and perhaps especially for parents, and that is to say, people who are interested in raising their children to be Christians, which is another way of saying raising children who know the difference between what is praiseworthy and what is contemptible, who know the true value of things. All of that is being muddied in our time. Laudable things are viewed with contempt, and contemptible things are being lauded or praised. I know this, by the way, because I watched the MTV Video Music Awards the other night. So how do you instill a true tuition about these things in yourself or in your children, in your family? In today's epistle, St. Paul roots the intuition in the cross of Jesus Christ. It's a good guess. You know, what is the solution? What is it all about? It's a good guess to say it's about Jesus, and it's a good guess to say it's about his cross. And that is certainly the case in the epistle today. Paul says, God forbid that I should glory in anything at all, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. And in consequence of this spiritual crucifixion, Paul says that he has stepped outside the cultural metrics of value that surrounded him in his time. He says, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. In other words, all the stuff that we get caught up about, talking about, worried about, none of it availeth. What availeth? A new creature, he says. A better translation of the phrase a new creature would be simply new creation without the indefinite article, which is missing in Greek, by the way. So in other words, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but new creation availeth. In other words, the measure of value under which we live is a function of the fact that we inhabit an entirely new reality that was inaugurated by Jesus' death and resurrection. And another word for this new reality is the kingdom of God. We are citizens of God's kingdom. We're just passing through this world. So we need to try not to be distracted or to be seduced by its pomps and its blandishments, which are all vain. And this is precisely what Jesus is talking about in today's gospel as well. No man can serve two masters, he says, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, which is a Greek word for money, an Aramaic word actually for money. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body, what you shall wear. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than clothing? No man can serve two masters. Neither can a man be citizen of two kingdoms simultaneously, at least not when the laws of those kingdoms conflict. And this means that we need to accustom ourselves to understand our lives and our fortunes and our sacred honor, as our founding fathers put it, to be at the service and under the dominion of God. We should place ourselves continually in his power and serve his interests, and pay no attention to the power or the interests of the world. Those powers and those interests may be good, they may be bad, they may be neutral, but they are in any case not definitive for the disciples of Jesus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And righteousness, by the way, means being able to judge the value of things accurately. That's what it means in biblical terms. Let God take care of the rest. Seek ye first the kingdom and the righteousness of God. Let God handle the rest. This is what today's collect is talking about when it speaks of being kept by God's perpetual mercy, to be placed at his disposal and trusting him to take care of everything. You seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and let him, with his perpetual mercy, govern the rest. The story of Franz Jägerstätter, depicted in a very beautiful movie directed and written by Terrence Malick called A Hidden Life, shows exactly what it means to live this way. Franz Jägerstätter was a farmer from a small village in the Austrian Alps, and he refused to sign an oath of loyalty to Hitler, an oath that Franz recognized as demonic because of his Catholic faith. But Franz knew that he could not be a citizen of two kingdoms simultaneously, not when the laws of those kingdoms were in conflict. The Nazis beheaded Franz for it. But even in his death, God kept Franz in his mercy. Franz was beatified by the Catholic Church in 2007, and his widow, who lived to be about 105, was there to see it. Last Sunday, September the 10th, I believe it was, the Catholic Church in the Polish village of Markowa beatified an entire family, Joseph and Victoria Ulma, and all seven of their children, including the baby boy in Victoria's womb, who exemplified the mode of life that Jesus and St. Paul are talking about in these readings today, just as Franz Jägerstätter did. The unborn child, who may have been born actually when Victoria was being murdered by the Nazis, is the first unborn baby baptized in his own blood to be beatified, to be declared blessed by the Catholic Church. In 1995, Yad Vashem, the World Holocaust Remembrance Center in Jerusalem, Israel, declared the Ulma family to be righteous among the Gentiles, just like Oscar Schindler, most famously. They had taken in, that is, the Ulma family had taken in eight members of three different Jewish families in 1942 and hidden them in their home, a rural farm in Poland. This heroic act, declared by the Nazi occupiers of Poland as punishable by death, was chosen by the Ulma family because of their faith. In their statement celebrating the event, the Polish bishops last week noted that the Ulma family Bible was regularly used and certain passages were underlined, including the story of the Good Samaritan, which we heard a few weeks ago. Their quote-unquote hidden life had very deep roots. They marinated in the gospel of Jesus and meditated on it as a family. On March 24, 1944, just a year, by the way, after Franz Jägerstätter had been executed in Berlin, the Nazis, aided by Polish collaborators, arrived at the Ulma farm and executed all of the Jews there and the entire Ulma family who had been sheltering them. Joseph, a simple farmer and a keen amateur photographer, left behind a pictorial witness of his family's life. They were faithful, happy, family-centered, with the practice of Christianity at its heart. Their act of mercy in a time of deep darkness in that nation's history was a witness and a moment of light and life, and a witness to light and life that was desperately needed at that time in Poland and in our time now. The chief rabbi of Poland, who attended the beatification last week, said that it was, quote, a very important step by the church to show the faithful how they should act. The faithful must imitate this example and live their faith publicly, where the light of their faith, the light of Jesus, the light of the gospel, can be seen. Let me tell you why this is not a macabre story. It's not a macabre story of tragedy because it is the story of a family who passed through this world heroically exemplifying true citizenship in the kingdom of God. A family who knew the eternal value of things, what availed and what availed not, as St. Paul puts it in today's epistle. It was a family who praised what was praiseworthy and held in contempt what was contemptible, namely the ideology of the Nazis. It was a family who, even when it meant risking everything, including their own lives, gloried in nothing save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world was crucified to them and by whom they became crucified to the world. It was a family who placed themselves unreservedly under God's perpetual mercy, as we say in today's collect, and on account of which it was a family who were robed in glory forever, world without end. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.